What happens when one person in a relationship has an adverse reaction to their partner's shame? Dr. Stan Tatkin once worked with a couple who was dealing with an immense amount of shame. But there was an extra layer to their problem. Here, Stan shares what happens when one person's shame creates two painful paths of suffering.
I had a couple come in, and he had just gone through a disclosure issue. That's a term used by people working in the sexual addiction field. And he came clean, and he had to do that in the presence of a counselor and his wife. Now, typically, when people come out of these disclosures, they look battle-weary. They look like they've just gone through hell, and they have. And so this particular day, this gentleman came in, and he was in a deep, deep shame state. This is difficult to manage because there's an actual harmed person here. And so it's harder to employ a partner's empathy, sympathy, when their partner's beginning to go into this collapsed dorsal motor vagal state. But nonetheless, if it is real and not feigned, not used as a defense against standing up to his or her partner's anger about betrayal, then I think it's fair to employ the partner as a stopgap measure to bring that person back, because if they drop too low, they're actually not able to think. They become so energy conserved that their thinking is impaired and their appraisal system is all off. So in order to continue therapy, that has to be taken care of. Now, the therapist in this case, I did have this patient get into their body for a moment because I started to notice that he was dissociating and he was beginning to show all those signs of energy conservation withdrawal. And so I had to get his blood pressure back up. And one of the ways to do that, one of the things I did was to ask him to feel his feet on the ground, to feel his butt in his chair, to feel the air temperature on his skin, to feel his body, basically get him in his body, and then have him make eye contact with me. And it's important when someone is in this state that the face that they're looking at when coming out of this is friendly. And so by looking at me, I'm able to check his sensorium to make sure that he's coming back and more present. And because eye contact is stimulating, it has the effect of moving that person up out of that deeply hypo-aroused state and to where they're focusing now on me, and I'm able to also see him and then track him as he moves back up. Once he's there, which only takes really a minute, doesn't take very long at all, then we can talk about the shame state itself and what drove him there and what's happening to get him back into the session with his wife. Now, if this were not a case where this was a betrayal issue, I would have employed his wife to work with him as a way to see how good she is at working with that state. Since they are in each other's care, it's important that I have the non-shamed partner work with the state because they have to do this in real life. I don't want to take over for that. And in that case, I might say to the partner, do you see what's happening? What do you imagine is happening? Just to make sure that he or she understands and is clear about the reaction that I'm seeing. In other words, that they're safe to help their partner. And then I ask them to do something to help, do something to, in this case, not soothe, but to do something to help. And usually the well-placed touch by a partner, or I may have them make eye contact, that brings that person back. And that experience we consider a reparative experience with the partner. And again, as a couple therapist, I want that to happen with them, not so much with me, unless the issue is with me, in which case I admit I've got to do it.
But since it was a betrayal,
yes.
You did it with between yourself and the patient, the shamed person. Did you then, after that, bring the spouse into it?
Absolutely. So as soon as I can see that this patient is out of that state, which is basically a vasovagal state where someone is getting ready to faint. As soon as I get their sensorium back and back in their body and their blood pressure back up to a reasonable rate where they can think again, then I move them right back into the couple situation, and then we go back with that that system, working that system, getting the other person involved and getting them interacting and then talking about the shame.
But Stan, you've got now one person feeling shame and probably the other person feeling angry at the betrayal.
It's a tricky thing because when working with betrayal, you have two people that are suffering for two different reasons. They're both wanting to get out of the room. They're both wanting to get out of the relationship, and yet they're not wanting to get out of the relationship because breaking up is really hard to do, and relationships are very sticky. So the therapist has to really manage and regulate both people and understand that they have different needs in the beginning of therapy where there's a big betrayal. Having said that, when there is a betrayal of the kind I just mentioned, the betrayed partner should have symptoms of PTSD. They should show symptoms. Intrusive thoughts, mood instability, nightmares, bouts of rage, perseveration, obsession, right? That is what happens because with the information of a new piece of information that changes everything, who we are, who I am, who you are, where were you that night on New Year's Eve, the brain is really seized and forced to review one's life in 360 degrees and try to fit that new information in and recalibrate everything, from that to from before and that after and so on. In other words, that person is messed up for a good year. And so we're dealing also with that dorsal motor vagal state in the betrayed person as well. Sometimes they're very, very angry. Other times they're really collapsed. They're humiliated. They're thrown off. Everything that's upside down, right side up is upside down, topsy-turvy. They're both really not in good shape. If the system is organized properly, and that is the betrayer really knows what they've done and understands that if they want back into the relationship, they're going to have to do a whole lot of things. Now, if that person doesn't really care, then there won't be any shame reaction in that person at all. And there'll be no therapy because in order to work with the situation, both people have to be in a lot of pain. And then we can move them through it.
As we heard, often, a betrayed partner can suffer symptoms of PTSD. For some further thoughts on these ideas, here's Dr. Kelly McGonigal.
So this was a study that was done, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, it's an Italian university, the Sapienza University in Rome, and it was a study of a self-compassion induction. And in this study, people were asked to think about a phrase they would use to soothe and encourage a very good friend who maybe was feeling the opposite of self-compassion, like shame. So they came up with their phrases, and some of them were assigned to just, like in a traditional meditation, say the phrases to yourself and try to be the recipient of these phrases. Others were encouraged to look at themselves in the mirror and do nothing, sort of a control condition. And then the final group, sort of the magic condition, is they were asked to look at themselves in the mirror, make eye contact with themselves in the mirror, and then say the phrases of encouragement and compassion to themselves while maintaining eye contact with themselves in the mirror. And you can probably guess, since I'm sharing this study with you, that that was a very powerful intervention. And they looked at a couple of different outcomes. One was soothing positive affect. So that would be measured with things like, do you feel safe? Do you feel secure? Do you feel content? Do you feel at ease? And so that was most strongly increased when people were making eye contact with themselves and offering these phrases of compassion to themselves. They also had a greater increase in heart rate variability. And heart rate variability is one of those physiological signatures that so many of the people we've heard from on the topic of shame are interested in. Higher heart rate variability, you could think of as being the opposite of shame. It's this great sign of physiological resilience and autonomic nervous system balance. and it's often associated with emotions like gratitude and hope and compassion.
In the next module, we'll look at one method for dissolving a person's shame messaging. I'll see you there.